This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America for America.
Carolina Hurricanes try to bounce back and try to get a split, or this thing could be over early. Panthers looked really good, although said they brought their C game and got the coach saying, yeah, I mean, I didn't love our game tonight, but it was okay. And I'm like, you won 5-2, man.
They got in the Panthers' heads before the series, though. You see, when a team that isn't really known for – Carolina plays a hard game, but they're not like – dirty or anything. Now they're running into Bobrovsky's, you know, that you got a guy brushing Bobrovsky's head and you got
I think you feel
firing
like you
a
have,
puck in. Yeah. Yes, that's what I mean. The Panthers are in their head that they're taking them off their game. If you want to go in the gutter, the Panthers, hey, we can live in the gutter. I'm not sure Carolina, and again, they're not a finesse team at all, but are they that kind of a team? Like, do they want to try to do that and get off their game a little?
I go by the interviews nationally in the pregame show. I love the hockey pregame, those guys. Now, listen, some of it's not always – they went heavy Toronto, but that's okay. But I like – so they had one of the Carolina players on before the game, you know, and they're, hey, getting ready to play, and he's got his – you know, he's there on the ice, and the guys are warming up. And they go, hey, what are you going to – how are you guys going to handle it? And they say this every game, like Tkachuk and those guys kind of jabbing you and tapping you late and bouncing you. And they try to get in your head. He goes, yeah, no, we've talked about it. And, you know, and I'm like, well, these guys are even talking
they're
about
it. They're already in their head. They're already talking about
Binnen and Tkachuk. And listen, with physical, they call us a dirty team. You hear it.
Yeah, that's – you know, look.
You're physical, they're big, they're talented, and they're dirty.
But you look at – Bennett brushing Anthony Stolarz in the Toronto series, and you can,
oh my God,
whatever you want to make it, you would have thought that was a, compared to what the what Shevchenko did to Bobrovsky, no comparison. Bobrovsky got, you know, it was like I-95 collision,
yeah,
you know, and right at the head, and I was surprised there was no disciplinary action for that, because that they got to protect the goalies. As we all heard during the Toronto series, they got to protect the goalies.
So I wonder, with all the stuff that happens, if the officials, because of the reputation of the Panthers,
yeah,
that they don't kind of, hey, we had something happen the other night. You just brought up this Gostis Bear, who's from down here. He fired a puck. I mean, he clearly fired a puck at Brad Marchand. Fired a puck right at him, Dave.
A guy got suspended for a game for doing that, you know, a couple years ago. That just doesn't happen, and they don't do that in the NHL. At the very least, you fine them, and there was no disciplinary action. That was odd.
No, actually, Marchand got a misconduct. Yeah. He was done for the frigging game.
But I mean, in the offseason, look, they have that the NHL disciplinary police squad. I forget the official name of it. That comes out and they, you know, says no, there'll be no fine.
Yeah,
no, I was surprised at that.
I was just curious about that. I hadn't seen that. I actually haven't seen a guy actually fire. You see a lot of things, and I see cheap shots. They're clearly cheap shots. But that one.
The best part was, the post-game. When Gus Pierre was asked, yeah, I fired it into him. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did it.
Crazy. The craziest story, that guy was a junior Panther.
Yes. He grew up down here.
He played in youth hockey program.
He's the first one, and there have been a few others from here, to make the NHL. He's 32 years old now. So you do the math, and you see, okay, yeah, when the Panthers got that junior program going, and
the junior Panthers were real popular.
Yeah,
my two nephews in it, and my one nephew who's getting ready to get married here in a couple months, Ryan, they show up this picture every so often of, and he played on his junior Panther team. Three or four guys are playing in the NHL right now, and they show the picture. And
yeah, it's interesting that
and I was like, wow.
Look at Austin Matthews from Scottsdale, Arizona.
I did not know that until Canada and United States played against each other.
Yeah, it's crazy
I had no idea.
When you look at where the expansion of the NFL, and now you get guys from the, not a lot, but enough that it's noticeable.
Kachuk brothers.
America, they grew up in hockey country, though.
Yeah,
I'm saying, from the Sun Belt, from Florida and Arizona, you're getting guys now.
Well, listen, this story between Tampa Bay dominating and now the Panthers dominating, hey, man, hockey goes through Florida. We don't mess around out here.
Canada's hating it. Oh, Toronto, it's like their writers, you know, this is what they live for this game, and they come down here and
So they're going through. It's funny you brought this up. What Toronto, because I can't get enough of it, and Carolina just doesn't have the same. It's not the same impact in Carolina, right? It's just not a huge hockey market. It's not.
It's us. I mean, it's sort of a reflection of us, except we've won a lot more than Carolina. So
I listen to those guys, including former players, and I go, wow, Toronto and hockey are a lot like, not to the probably same extreme, but a lot like the Miami Dolphins. They really are like, get rid of the coach, get rid of the GM. It's got to start from the top. Get rid of these guys, and they choke.
They haven't won a cup since 1967. They've won two playoff series in 20 years. There's a lot
losses.
Of parallels
here.
Now, the difference is, around hockey, a lot of players, of course, you look at the population of Canada, a lot of players grew up as Maple Leafs fans. And so that's sort of the beacon of attention. To put it in, they're like the Yankees of hockey, and that so much feeds off them, and it's a huge market.
Right,
and
it's huge.
By the way, a lot
of those guys grew up around the Toronto area. And, you know, they're going, your little guys, hey, I'd like to play for the Maple Leafs.
One of them is, and I'm curious what happens this offseason.
Marner? He's gone.
Marner's gone. So they're going to have about $20 million to spend, evidently. And Sam Bennett's a free agent. Sam Bennett grew up in a outside of Toronto.
Sam Bennett is not going to want to leave here.
You talk about a guy who's the fabric of what the Panthers are, and
I think it'd be a huge loss to lose him.
Oh, absolutely. Well, you lose any of those core 10 guys,
but you can't keep them all. You can't going keep, 8, 9, 10 million. They're all making the same. They literally, you look across the board, and they're all great players. Hell, Verhaeghe. That goal the other day was friggin' gorgeous. Backhanded lift, just ridiculous. How many kids went out after that game and tried that one? He said, hey, you see, Mom, you see that Verhaeghe? I'm going to go out and try that on the ice today.
But Bennett could change the mentality of a team. Sort of like Kachuk when we got traded for Kachuk, and right away the everything changed. Bennett's the same type of player. And Marchand obviously is too, and so
does Marchand want to come back here?
Well, that's what I'm wondering too. You know, he's turned 37 now.
Loves winning.
He has a year or two left, maybe. I don't know. I don't know what his thinking is.
The playoff Marchand is ridiculous, and he's about everything they're about. He fit in.
Absolutely.
You talk about a guy hand picked a team's perfect for his game,
and you listen to him. Everything after he got remember, he was hurt for a few weeks here, a couple weeks, and he got back on. He loves the room, loves the players. He sees why they win. And you know what? I love to listen to Marchand talk because you want to know the fabric of the sport.
Yeah.
And at the high level, there it is. You listen to him talk. That's it.
It is amazing team to really, as you watch this, and you watch the same core of guys together and what they've added. It's amazing.
The great thing about being a writer and the thing I love best about my job is being around excellence. It's not being around mediocre or bad teams and having to ride the elevator down with six or seven different Dolphin coaches over the last quarter century. That's not fun. What's fun is when Pat Riley talks about what makes championships. You know, and he has two rules. I some of this I just know by rote. You know, two rules: no complaining and no gossip in his offices. And the Panthers, you listen to them. Paul Maurice says every player has to do five things, and you know things like back checking and playing. But after that, they're free to play their game. So it's really interesting to see how excellent teams put the systems in.
But I will tell you that the one thing they start with, they have excellent players.
Yeah, well, it always starts with one guy coming through the door. Bill Zito coming through the door and being able to get that talent. And hire the coach. I mean, and knowing that we needed that coach.
And that coach came in, told us about that new system, and you went, holy shit. He was right on the money, and they're all drinking the Kool-Aid now, man. Whatever he's putting in that Kool-Aid, they buy the system, and they really, over the last four or five games, have really picked it up. All right, we got to go to break here. We got a lot more news today to get to here. We told you about Dwayne Wade getting after Jimmy Butler a little bit, about not looking to take shots. I just thought, way to go, D-Wade. UD kind of started, D-Wade took it and went, hey, man. Steph's out. Who's supposed to take the shots? You're not even looking for him. You know you got to score. You're playoff Jimmy, and you turned into past Jimmy.
I think you see why the Heat didn't want to pay him an extra years from now.
That's what Dwayne Wade said.
Oh, did he? Okay.
He added that part too. Yeah. Hey, maybe that's one of the reasons why they want to pay him.
Yeah.
Guys sit around and watch. Here, you make a shot.
Now Golden State's got three guys over 36 years old next year. Next year, they'll be all over 36.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Nerds. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners: which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint: it's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment your local Ford stores share, and that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company, from America for America.
Now, this is not entertaining or anything, or I'm not going to say anything stupid, but last night, just going back to why you're a sports fan, you had two great comebacks last night. And for some reason, if you know you get up early and you cheat a little bit from time, and I do, I am not going to lie. If a game gets lopsided, I turn it off, I go to bed, then I get the results in the morning. Sometimes, you know, if it's close, you want to see what happens, see the stats, get the find out what the personality of the game was. But last night you had two unbelievable comebacks. Edmonton was up in Dallas 3-1 after two periods, and Dallas comes back and scores five goals and ends up, if you get up this morning, you go, wow, easy game for Dallas. Not really. They were down 3-1 against that Edmonton team. And then even better yet, or for Knicks fans waking up this morning, all the New Yorkers are living down here that still love their Knicks, they had a 14-point lead with 3.5 minutes left and lost in overtime. Should have won in regulation. I mean, you couldn't. You've seen that bounce all morning, right? That bounce was unbelievable.
It was a playground bounce.
That probably, what's that? I don't know. That doesn't happen very often. Yeah, but, I mean, it goes up 8-10 feet, straight up in the air, comes right back down with no time left, right through the middle of the basket to tie it up. That ties it, goes into overtime. And so the Pacers come all the way back to get an overtime win last night. But, hey, man, you're up 14 with 3.5 minutes left. You got to friggin' win. And they missed a couple of free throws. Actually, Knicks missed, I think, 12 free throws last night. You know, late in the game, you got to make them. And they're making one. One out of two. And next thing you know, they're going down the other end, and they are just on friggin' fire and making shot after shot after shot, but end up getting a win. Aaron Nesmith hit 8 threes and hit them all, it seemed like, late in that game. I mean, one after the other, just knocking them down.
I don't even know Aaron Nesmith. Yeah. That tells you where we are, yeah. The NBA. But, you know, Indiana was in the Eastern Conference Finals last year. The question, and Knicks, this is really the first time they missing all those free, is the moment, do you have to be scarred to make it through here? Indiana lost last year. Knicks have never really been through this before. Are they getting caught up a little in that moment when you're up 14 at home and you can't hold that lead?
3.5 minutes.
Now you got to think about it for the next 2 days. And
you know, I'm thinking, you know, you go back and watch it, and you're thinking, you get 3 minutes, and you know, it's still plenty of time, but you're going to think, well, we'll get it down where it's just going to, they'll have to foul us and we'll keep making plays. But boy, all of a sudden, you knock down a whole bunch of threes in a row like they did last night. And that lead got down to 3-5-3, and it just it flipped quickly.
Oklahoma City is going to run through either of those teams, though. They're anointed, right? Unless they blow it, they are the team.
They look like the best team.
Minnesota doesn't look like it. They're not serious enough yet. They're goofing around, and, I taking halves off. I look at their post game, and they lose, and they're laughing in the post game and everything.
They've lost games before, and they do bounce back.
I know, but they're not, again, they're not scarred enough yet. They haven't hurt enough by losing yet, I don't think. When I look at, they're too young. Their best player's too young right now.
All right, so, Dave, the other thing is, so yesterday, the Dolphins coaching staff talked. So those guys been out there working out and stuff. I think everybody understands that a lot of this team is the success, besides obviously the core of players, and you got a lot of those guys back. But there's going to be a lot of young guys that are going to play a lot of football. And when I say that, I'm talking about guys from Cam Smith to Storm Duck to Ethan Bonner down to this rookie draft class. They're counting on a lot of those guys. They're not all of a sudden going to be able to go out there and just get a whole bunch of veteran players here and go, oh boy, we got these guys. They're coming in. We got every. I almost think you're better off. I saw some people wrote this, and I agree, you know, comments and Dolphin fans a little passionate and screaming to get this thing turned around. Dave, that veteran thing last year, I didn't think was great. Again, they went cheap on a whole bunch of veteran players. And remember, we had all those guys over 30, the over 30 club.
It was pretty good with Calais Campbell.
It was good with Calais. Don't get me wrong. Calais was great.
The point is, you got to get the right guys. You can't.
But you got to do it. At some point, you got to get younger and build this thing from draft and even rookie free agent and develop your own guys. And that's what we're talking about.
Well, that's what they got away from the last 3 years, and you know, well, they for 2 years they got completely away from the draft. You know, when they went and signed all their free agents, they traded they basically traded a draft class for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Ramsey. And in addition to giving them huge money, they traded a draft class.
With big guarantees behind them that they extended last year.
Yes. Well, unnecessarily extended, but as we know. But the point, you got to hit on draft picks, you got to develop players, and you got to fill in the holes with the right free agents. And they tried, you know, the Jordan Poyers, the Kendall Fullers.
I have nothing against Jordan Poyer.
Oh, nothing. Look, a great career.
I have nothing against the guy. He did have a great career with Buffalo. He did, and we got to see it up close.
He knew how to win, but his time was gone.
That was a statue back then.
Yeah, his time was gone. And it wasn't his fault. They offered him $2 million, and he took it, and they made him the starter.
But I'll give you another one, even off last year. And I'd love to have great, young, talented players at every position, but it's not going to happen. And second of all, that secondary wasn't very productive last year. We had two safeties. Neither one had an interception. That's hard to do. We had a starting corner, zero interceptions. Ramsey had two and Cater had two. You got shut out at three other guys.
Joe, what if they'd taken that money that they spent on those, and they just re-signed their own players? You talk about the safeties. They had Deshaun Elliott and Brandon Jones they let walk. They had Christian Wilkins they let walk. They had Andrew Van Ginkle they let walk. What if they'd taken that money and signed?
It's funny you talked about Brandon Jones. He ended up being really good.
Really good.
Was that Denver?
He's in Denver.
Yeah.
And Deshaun Elliott and Minka Fitzpatrick, another completely different story, ex-Dolphin, they formed what some people thought was the best safety tandem in football. So all of a sudden you got the Dolphins have produced safeties. It's self-scouting and administering, you know, roster management. And they just didn't keep them. So now they're, you know, they're crossing their fingers at safety. We talk about cornerback a lot, but they're crossing their fingers that these safeties they got can.
They called it open competition. I've been saying that. Now listen, I think day one, when you go out there and you're at practices when they count in the summer and we come back from our vacation, they're going to start. Two of the rookie free agents will be the first two guys out there. There is no question on my mind. Those two guys that they got from Detroit and the Jets will start. But after that, coach said it yesterday. I told our guys, hey, listen, man, I look around the room. Everybody got a chance. You got a rookie you drafted. You got a guy you drafted a year earlier. All you guys have a chance. Even you guys have been special teams players are going to get a chance to be starting safeties. I look outside of the cornerback position. If I'm going in there, I'm going, okay, Cater's got one of those jobs. Cater Kohu has one of those jobs. But to me, the rest of those jobs are open. What a great opportunity. If I got drafted, I don't care what round, like, I got a chance. And they will keep them.
Yeah, there's two stories. One is the opportunity. And if you're a player or you're a coach, having to coach up those young players, you talk about that opportunity. But the other side of that is how do they have – they're just wide – why are they all wide open? That's not a good – position to be in if you're in the front office.
So again, I hate that's Chris.
Yeah, that's
no, you don't have to say front office. Chris is a general manager. There's not Mike Tannenbaum. It's not the head coach. When you got all these holes on your team and you're filling them in and hopefully you get it right. But this,
well, they're gonna go out and get a veteran or two cornerback.
Yes.
The problem being you look at just last year, Kendall Fuller. 29 years old, they bring a nice career, you know, good guy.
Beaten up.
That's the problem at that, you know, you get to right around 30 in that position, and all of a sudden that's a cliff. You fall off the cliff.
So I think Rasul Douglas came in. He did it here, and went to Seattle. He wants a lot of money. I know they want him. He wants a lot of money. He goes, hey, man, I've been making good money. He's a good player when he first got traded to Buffalo from Green Bay. Asante Samuel coming off a shoulder or neck injury. And then there's another guy out there that I don't know he's got left. Stephon Gilmore was really friggin' good at one point in his life when he was Defensive Player of the Year for the Patriots. He was really friggin' good. And he was good with the Bills. I don't know what he has left. He's 35 years old.
we're gonna be talking in heading into the opener. Oh, they got Asante Samuel or Rasul Douglas. They're, you know, that's a nice veteran. The problem being, I remember you can pick a year. This guy came to mind, Arian Foster, looked great in preseason, running back, looked great in preseason, looked great. And the question was when the wheels would fall off, and it was about game four. He got hurt, and that was all we heard of him. And that's my fear of these cornerback positions.
That's why I saw this again from some of our Dolphin fans. Just go with the young guys. Coach them up and play them. Coach them up and play them. By the way, even if they're a little green, coach them up and play them. You're looking at me like you think you just can't have all proven guys coming in to play.
Well, look, if you had one cornerback position open, you said just coach them up and play them. I agree. You got a whole secondary, basically, other than Cater, which everybody loves. I love his story. He's the only player I know who's come in with owing tuition money.
He is a little tackle.
He's made
too.
A career for himself.
But he is pound for pound tough.
But you look at the secondary, the whole secondary is a question mark.
That group right now, outside of Cater, you take Cater out of that group, there ain't a whole lot of starts in that whole thing.
You got Joe Burrow coming at you. You got Josh Allen twice.
Baker.
You could go down the list. Jaden Daniels. You got.
You could see.
Mayday in New England now. His second year. Let's see what happens with New England this year. Everybody, all these quarterbacks, from the start, where Indianapolis has questions at quarterback, their quarterback's going to be thinking, I couldn't have started against a better team. Better secondary.
There's two teams that are looking at each other saying,
we
got them.
Absolutely. Both the Dolphins are looking at the Colts.
We got them on our schedule. No, we got you. You're on our schedule, too. Hey, sometimes we have people do really, really good stuff in this community. We do. I know sometimes we get a bad rap, but Robert Taylor has been in my life, and George and Chris and the whole gang over there, and I've been working with this Broward Habitat for Humanity. And they've got another big dedication that they do. Just being involved, Dave, over the last couple of years, a little bit. Not like Robert Taylor, who's all in with a lot of his money and time and everything else. But a 13-family dedication in Coral Springs is going to take place at 8:30 this morning. So I just tell everybody, you know, you talk about good things to get involved with. These people get these homes that, you know how expensive homes are. A lot of people are working and can't do it, and they're building homes for these people. And they have to put in their sweat equity, and it's a really great story with the way it's structured and everything else. But they make it affordable for these families to have their own home. Man, as we know, there's nothing like having your own home. So anyway, they're having a big dedication in Coral Springs this morning, and you meet guys in your life that are just constantly giving. And he's successful. But Robert Taylor has been unbelievable with this. And George and Chris, all really, really good guys, man, to make your life better and make our community a lot better. So I just wanted to give that shout out here. You're seeing a little different side of me.
I like that, Joe.
You're looking staring at me.
I always look in our world, the sports world, who's giving back. You know, and I was
a lot of good guys.
There are
a lot of guys
doing
a lot of good stuff.
You know, Bill Zito right now is doing something with cancer. With he lost his mother and his sister, and I think his mother-in-law. There were three people close in his family lost to cancer, and he's really starting a cancer. We know the Dolphins do there, obviously.
Well, that DCC thing.
That's like. What the amount of money they give and organizational support they give to it is.
I always tell everybody I lost my mother to cancer here in the last year, but I said, Mom, I wish I had you back at Sylvester, you know, because you get a great place like we have and it's getting better. We got some other great cancer centers. There's a lot of people doing, you know, good work down here. But it's nice to hear, man, and we do. And I bring up Bam doing stuff with Chapman Partnership. But we do. We have a lot of guys, and Danny with autism, and Jason Taylor Foundation, and a lot of guys doing a lot of things, man, we don't talk about. Instead, we talk about a lot of other things that people are doing. But when they're part of your life, it's pretty cool. So anyway, hey, wanted to say that, and of course, we got a lot of other stuff going on. I hate to always, Omar and I were talking about this yesterday. There's real frustration. It's a new year for the Dolphins. It's a new year. People, although, we got a knowledgeable fan base. They know. Hell, they got an early depth chart up. You can go up. They got early depth chart as you look at what's come onto the team and where they are. First team, second team, third team. You know, it drives coaches nuts. They see it, and they're going, oh, my God, they got it out already. It's just, for me, and I've noticed I've gotten worse, the built-up frustration of just, we've got, sometimes I feel like our goals have been just to be good, like have a winning record. And that's not what this thing's about. That's not what we're talking about now. We're talking about the Eastern and Western Conference Finals in the NBA and the NHL. That's what it's about. I'm not saying everybody's going to have this run the Panthers have. Look, it's not normal. We've only had a couple of them in the history of South Florida. You mentioned the Dolphins in the 70s. My 80s team's as good as they were. Nothing close to what they're doing.
And the Big Three. But you know.
And the Big Three.
We could take this to the Dolphins, or the one thing the Panthers have done, and you talk about last night's game, the Knicks blew a big lead. Edmonton blew a big lead. The Panthers are 27-0 over the last three playoffs when they have a second period lead. 27-0. As a columnist, I like that because it means I can start writing if they have a lead, know, on deadline.
A little selfish on your part, but it works for you.
But think about that. Last night's game, 27-0. They put a lead in their pocket and they close their fist around it and say, we're not going to give it up.
All right, boys, you know the system. You know the drill. Here we go.
Yeah.
And Big Bob goes, whatever gets through, I got it. By the way, Big Bob, you talk about comeback in your career. They would have given him away for a pizza.
Well, the whisper, more than a whisper around the team, what are we talking, 3 years ago?
When he was benched.
And 4 years ago, he was in street clothes during a game.
That's right.
A playoff game.
Tampa Bay.
But that he was going to be bought out, he'd finish his career in Russia. One of the great things about Paul Maurice coming in with his defensive system and all that is, and I've talked to Maurice. Gave a great answer. I asked him about how did Bobrovsky turn around the surrounding, and he said, "Well, a lot of it's on Bobrovsky, obviously.
Yeah.
But you get a system in front of him instead of run and gun offensively. All of a sudden, he could trust the defense in front of him, and he makes a save, and he starts to build confidence. And of all the things in sports, we talk intangibles, leadership, and all this stuff. Confidence is the one thing you got to have.
Right.
And so somewhere it came back for Bobrovsky, and now look at him. He's
amazing.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Nerds.
Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Question for our listeners. Which automaker assembles the most vehicles in the country? Here's a hint. It's the same one that employs the most hourly workers in the country, and the answer is Ford. That's not a coincidence. It's a commitment. A commitment your local Ford stores share. And that is why Ford is now offering employee pricing across their full lineup of vehicles, which means you pay what they pay. So visit your local Ford stores today to take advantage of this great opportunity. Ford Motor Company. From America, for America.
Looking for a job is lonely. Endless searching, phone calls that go nowhere, applications that vanish into thin air. What if you could link with dozens of local companies who are hiring right now with just one connection? That's Express Employment Professionals. Find us at expresspros.com. One connection, endless opportunities, and no fees ever for job seekers. Express Employment Professionals. ExpressPros.com.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.